This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Bishus Rabbonim, Chalam Suvin Khan. I'd like to say to Rabbi Yechiel, two oisios. MB. Merci beaucoup. This occasion is a huge simcha for me personally, because just after the beginning of this fifth cycle that we started here from Cheskes Habatim 37 and a half years ago, just as we started the fifth cycle, I became quite unwell. And since that time, I've realized that every day is a matona from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Could well have not been here at all. And therefore, every opportunity to learn Torah, to teach Torah, to share the Torah with you, has been a special bracha from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And a Baal Simcha, we know, has a koyach to give brachas. So my bracha is to everybody here, especially to my Rebbetzin and all the Noshim Tidkonyos who are partners in the Limud Daf HaYomi, allowing their husbands to tap into the words of the Torah HaKadosha, because the Talmud Bavli is a mixture of Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. Allowing that every day is their zechus. Now my wife is Oleben and Gesund Sein, as you know, is in Avelus. And this Siyum, I've dedicated Le'ilui Nishmas, Chamoisi, Orabonis, Shoshana Reisel, Privalsky, Zichroino, Livrocha, who, and I'm going to tell you just one little story about her, because it's apposite to the Simchas HaTorah. And that is, when she came after the most extraordinary and difficult years in the war to Eretz Israel, she arrived at the home of her Korev Mishpacha, the famous Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, Zechitzalit Livracha. She slept in a room which was the room which housed most of the Sforim of Rabbi Zalman, and it happened that Reb Aaron Kotler came to the house, son-in-law, and she was turfed out of the room, and they went on a excursion in Torah from this Masechta to that Masechta, each one trying to put forward his point of view, and there was a Rischa D'Araisa, there was a tremendous love of the Torah and a burning desire to get to the MS. And she would love to hear their conversations. She listened behind the door to every word that was said. And she laughed and she cried. And why did she cry? She writes in the book that she penned about her wartime experiences, she thought that she would never hear the sound of Torah again. She was brought up in the famous town of Telz, in Lithuania. Her parents' home was opposite the yeshiva. There, the Kovod HaTorah was so great that when the yeshiva bacha walked in the street, people would stand still and observe an image of Torah to give the yeshiva bachrim teg, days in which they would enjoy meals in the house of Balabatim. That was a great zechus for a family to accommodate a yeshiva man, yeshiva bacha. What a great thing. And she thought all of that was lost. And when she heard Rabbi Zalman and Rabbi Aaron, B'simchas HaTorah, forgetting everything, the worlds that they had lost, the family members that they had lost, in their love for Torah, she could not help but cry, but there were tears of joy. The Torah lives on. And I recall in Siyumim in the past, when she would send a telegram, and later on, of course, it became easier to use the telephone, and she was fully mishtatef in every siyum that we had in the Beis HaMedrash and would shower me with her brachas. So I think it's very fitting that I dedicate this siyum le'ilui nishmasa, because Torah for her was something which she really appreciated to the nth degree. This is an opportunity for Hakoras HaToiv to everybody who attends the shiur and has the patience to listen. And an opportunity to express Hakoras HaToiv to Rabbi Brunner, who will step in at a moment's notice. He'll give the shiur if I'm unable to do so. Unfortunately, because of the ill health of my mother-in-law in recent months, he's had to do that quite often. And it really is appreciated by all of us. Yashar kechachem. Tei maskudcha shleima meim Hashem. I'm not forgetting Rabbi Yoni Apter, who takes over on their Shabbos afternoon, the repeat of the Friday afternoon shiur. May he continue to do so in good health for many years to come. I once heard Rav Shach saying, it's not the hour of Daf HaYomi. It's not just an hour. That 1 hour a day gives a chashivas to the other 23 hours. The rest of the day and night get their whole ruchnias from that hour, that kaviyas of Talmud Torah. There's nothing like being kaveyit in that Torah. When we come to Shemayim, that's the question they're going to ask us. Kavato itim la Torah. When we sit at the Gemara, we transport ourselves away from the world surrounding us, and then suddenly in the middle of it all, you'll hear the old Nokia niggun from somebody's mobile telephone. A reminder that the Yetzer Hara tries to encroach even in the Beis HaMedrash. You have to try and keep the Beis HaMedrash as insulated and cocooned as possible. Because here we're going back every day. The Kaviyas every day is going back to Har Sinai. It's not sitting in Bridge Lane. We're standing at Har Sinai. That's Talmud Torah. It's Kabbalah HaTorah every single day. What is a chus for the Balabatim who attend and for their wives? Potter below Klum, Yesha Madaf Epezogen, from the Heilige Werte, from the Mefarshim, at the end of Bab Metzia, otherwise I won't be my duty properly. And I saw a wondrous drush from the Ben Yehoyada on that machlokes between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon, with regards to the two gardens, one on top of the other, with the foliage hanging down, that Rab Shimon paskens that Al Heichen Shiyodei Magas, the person who's from the upper garden, that belongs to him, V'Hashar belongs to the Tachtoin. Not like the Shit of Rabbi Meir, who says everything belongs to the Elyon. Not like the Shit of Rabbi Yehuda, that everything belongs to the Tachtoin. The Ben Yehoyada explains this machlokes al derech hadrush. We know Yaakov and Esav inherited the world, but not just one world, two worlds. is Shamayim and Eretz. Esav thought that he should get Eretz totally. Yaakov, Gehetz Shamayim, he belongs to heaven. So Mishuras Hadin, Esav Tainad, Yaakov should have nothing of the Toiv of Olam Hazeh. It all belongs to him. Yaakov Avinu, on the other hand, retorted that Olam Hazeh cannot have any kiyum and doesn't have any sort of existence were there not to be influence from Shamayim. You need dew, you need rain, you need the sun shining, you need the Yareach, the Kechovim, you need the winds, and were it not for that Chilek HaShamayim, the world would not be able to exist. That was the retort of Yaakov Avinu to Esav. The words of the Mishnah could be understood in this way. The two gardens, one on top of the other, the upper one is Shamayim, the lower one is Eretz. Shamayim belongs to Klal Yisrael. Eretz is Esav's territory. But the Toiv HaOlam Hazeh, where is that? That's in between Shamayim and Eretz, as it were. And to whom does it belong? Rabbi Meir says it belongs to the Elyon, Klal Yisrael. There wouldn't be any Tov Olam Hazeh without the Hashpah of Shamayim. If the Ribbono Shel Olam, if the Elyon, would want to take away its earth, then there would be no Tachtoin. Everything would fall apart. Everything depends on the Chelek HaShamayim so that the earth can prosper. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, everything belongs to the Tachtoin. The Toiv belongs to the Tachtoin because the visible good that we see emanates from the earth. The wheat grows from the ground, the apples from the tree. Everything is land-based. True, you need the Chelek HaShamayim. However, without the earth, you have nothing. If the Tachton would want to fill up his Gina with Ofar, then that would cut off all the trees hanging down. Everything would be Makulkal. Everything depends on the Tachton. However, that Machloikes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda about the battle between the Koichos of Yaakov, Klal Yisrael, and Esav, the Umas HaOlam, came along Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and he made a hachra'ah. He's mezakeh shtara lebeitrei. He says both Yisrael and Umas HaOlam can have a portion. And this is what he said. So long as the Elyon can have hashba'ah, can be poishet yodoi, that will belong to him. If that which he takes from Olam Hazeh is utilized in Avodas Hashem, it definitely belongs to him. The little bit that she'ein yodoi magas, that's left for the Umas HaOlam. We won't begrudge them that. Klal Yisrael won't take that away from them. And Mimela, we can understand now what Shavu Malka, why he praised Rabbi Shimon. And he had nothing to say for the derech of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. The Persian king was a representation of the Sar Shel Poras in Shamayim, the guardian angel of Persia. And he believed that the derech of Rabbi Shimon was the best possible way to deal with things. Because you can't say everything belongs to Klal Yisrael, what will be left for him? You can't say everything belongs to Esav and Umas HaOlam. No zechus for Yisrael. The king Shapur didn't like that. And what he said was, if you have a legima gedola, if you try and chap everything, then you can choke. So he realized that for Umas HaOlam to take everything was unreasonable. The svara of Rab Shimon bar Yochai was pleasing and pleasant to him because he gave something to everybody, and there would be no din udvarim anymore. Apirion im teyel Rab Shimon means that the Tsar of Poras says, you know, you're right. I, the Tsar of Poras, was responsible for allowing your Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt in the times of the Second Temple. the Sa'a Paras Kairash, and in Shamayim, his celestial representative or ambassador, the angel of Paras, facilitated, as it were, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Yavon, on the other hand, wanted to destroy, and it was partially successful. If you look at the word Apirion and divide it into two, it's Pe'er Yavon, the splendor of Greece. That means that the Pe'er of Yavon, the Shefa of their Gedula, their sovereignty, to whom should that belong? Apirion Nimtiei L'Rab Shimon. That goes to Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. He gets what they wanted. The Beis HaMikdash lived on. The Torah lived on. Yavon wanted to destroy our attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And particularly Rab Shimon, the Torah of Rab Shimon, the Zoya HaKadosh is well known, that it says, through your Torah, Rab Shimon, Klal Yisrael will emanate from Golos. Particularly, therefore, relevant as we sit here towards the end of days of Golos, and we're quoting Rabbi Shimon, the Heilige Tana Rabbi Shimon, Kedayhu Rabbi Shimon, Lismay Cholov, Beshas Hadchak. Pe'er Yavon, according to the Girsa, which is Apirion, Aleph Pei Resh Yud Yud Nun, and not Yud Vov Nun, there is such a Girsa, then the Tziruf will yield two words, Pe'er Yayin. Torah is Yayin, and Rab Shimon is Zoicha to that Pe'er, to that splendor, that Chaim. Yehi Rotzon that we should see the development of that Chaim of Rab Shimon, Bevias Goel Tzedek, Bimheiro V'Yameinu. Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.